declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing and concluding today our study in 1 Samuel chapter 9 in Israel choosing a new leader. And remember, we've been studying how they have rejected the Lord. They have looked and asked for a king like all the other nations, and the Lord gives it to them. Amazing how this section begins, because Saul is described as being the most handsome man in all of Israel. He was choice. He was chosen. He stood a foot taller than everyone else, and the text is showing us something. The Lord gave them just what they wished. Everything of a perfect human leader they could ever dream of. Wow. Anyone set their eyes on this man, they'll want to follow. But then the Lord is teaching us about Saul's character. Some of the household donkeys had been lost, and Saul had been a kind of herdsman and shepherd for his father. So the father sends him out to find them, and the text is showing us the kind of shepherd he was. Not only did he lose them, as he's searching for them, the text plainly says that Saul spoke to his servant, "Come, let us return. Who cares, right? About these donkeys." He's no shepherd. He doesn't have a heart for it. You don't leave. You find the flock. He will only be a hireling in Israel. It's what a king becomes. That's first. Then what? I'm looking at this and asking, who is the leading? Who's doing the leading here? This is not a leader. A slave is directing him. A slave is pulling him to stay with the mission. A slave is the one leading here. And Saul is submitting to that? Everything about this shows he's no pastor. But then the worst thing. Everyone in the region knew of Samuel. All of Israel knew of Samuel. Even the slave knows of Samuel. Samuel was honorable. Whatever word he spoke came to pass. It was the word of the Lord. Now, not only is there no seeking of the Lord on the part of Saul, but he's completely ignorant of Samuel. Now, we know the word of God came through Samuel. Samuel was traveling around in circuits, sacrificing and ministering that word. Guess what? Saul was absent from it all. What the text is showing you is there is absolutely no saving knowledge in this man. Samuel was performing sacrifices to make atonement for the sins of the people. Saul is completely ignorant of this whole thing. He didn't know the Lord. Three things I see. He's presented here as losing his flock, lost in the wilderness without any communion or knowledge of the Lord, lacking all true spiritual sight. Let me just say then, this is your worst nightmare. You could have outwardly the most beautiful, handsome presence you could ever find, and yet the most spiritually dead in all of Israel. And dear listener, meet Israel's first king. I applied this earlier saying, when churches want pastors, you know, they bring in sports heroes and they bring in these kind of guys who aren't called to the ministry, and they put them up on stage and they're a great draw for people. That situation is your worst nightmare. Distressing, you better believe it. In human wisdom, Israel decided what they needed. They selected a man their way, and God would let them taste what it would be like. Israel would not experience for a time the direct blessing and communion with God that they should have enjoyed. See how instructive this is for us? Think about it. Think about it. I believe with all my heart, had Israel looked to the Lord to provide them a leader, asking the Lord to send them one who did his will, you think the Lord would have said no? This is your greatest hour to seek the Lord, right? Trust him. But they wanted to do their own will. They wanted to be like all the other nations. Nothing more important for us to consider. As they enter into town, they come to a well. And we have seen throughout the Bible, these well meetings are important events. Saul is sent to Samuel. As they come into the city, there Samuel comes out to meet him. And then we come to verse 15. Now the Lord told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me." Here's what I'm moved with. Even in the darkest rejection of the Lord, he still loved his people. Now, at this point, it's helpful to remind you, the Lord's going to say that he loves them, that even though they rejected him to be their king, it was his delight for them to be his people. He loved them even through this. He still was bent on delivering them. He wouldn't leave them. He was their king. I can't emphasize this enough. Who really cared? Not the king they're selecting, but the Lord. You want to talk about character? Let's talk about the Lord. Did you notice how he describes Saul? Listen to verse 16. Verse 16, he calls him a commander or a ruler. Now listen to verse 17. "So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people.'" The word "reign" there is interesting. The ESV correctly translates it as "restrain." The word means hold back or even imprison. What I'm amazed with is the simple fact that God would not use the word "king" to describe Saul. Oh, the people wanted a king. Lord calls him a leader, a prince, a ruler, a commander. But he would not be the kind of king the Lord would be to them. That means that his rule, asked for by them, would hinder their progress and become, as one pastor said, a barrier separating Israel from God's best for them. So then we have to understand that the intention of the Lord was to use Saul as a means of chastising the nation of Israel back to him. But deep down, God was zealous and jealous to be Israel's king. Isn't that touching? Even when it went dark, many of you experienced this in the church, the Lord is telling us here, not only has he not abandoned us, but he's always been committed to root out idolatry in us, who so easily put our trust in men, that we might love the Lord alone as our king. And even in this, the Lord would use Saul to fulfill his promise to deliver them from many of their enemies' hands. That is how good he is to Israel. So the section ends with Samuel taking Saul into the hall, and he sets him in verse 22 in the place of honor. The best guests were invited, the best of Samuel's clan. They killed the fatted calf. They gave the portion to Saul. They come down off the high place. Samuel spoke with Saul. He leads Saul to the gate of the city in the morning. And verse 27 ends with saying that Samuel stopped Saul to announce the word of God to him. Right there, Saul would be anointed as Israel's first king. The comforting thing in all of this, dear listener, is how all this mess ends. Think of the mystery. Israel did what was evil in Samuel's eyes and even for asking for this, for a king. And God still provided it. All of it was according to the word. Think of what Joseph said. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Where is the good in this? Saul's ending is a tragedy. Their leader is a tragedy. The good ending is this. As their king failed, the Lord had a greater plan for them. He would set his holy king on Zion's hill. David foreshadowed that king, didn't he? Remember what was said of David? He was ruddy. When they went to find David, Samuel went, he looked at David's older brother. Ah, that must be the one. And right down the line, the Lord said no. And Samuel would ask, do you have any other sons to Jesse? Oh, well, there's one. That can't be the one you want. He's a ruddy youth out in the field. He was the Lord's king. What a king he foreshadowed. Everything was opposite. When the true king came, the Lord Jesus Christ, what did Isaiah say about him? Remember Saul. Saul was the most handsome in all of Israel. Jesus Christ, the true king, what did Isaiah say of him? He was not beautiful to behold. There was no beauty that we should desire him. He did not stand tall above all the people. In fact, nobody wanted him. No one said, wow, what a man. He came in weakness. He came with nothing. He was not rich. They did not give him a seat in Jerusalem. They did not kill the fatted calf for him. Jerusalem was sorrowful when this king came. He was despised and rejected of men. But what character this king had. Saul was considered and represented as losing his flock. No leadership, no mission, no communion with God. Dead. What a contrast King Jesus is. He was constantly saying and telling parables about leaving the 99 just to recover the one and not stopping until that sheep was brought in, home. You remember John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's a hireling who, when he sees the wolf coming, abandons. I'm coming to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm distressed until it's accomplished. Saul had no shepherd's heart. Jesus, the true king, looked on the multitudes with compassion. Remember the woe to the shepherds. Woe, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, my flock has become a prey. My flock a food became food for every beast of the field. There's no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for the flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. This is what Jesus did. This is his word to you today. You know, you do have a king. You don't have to look elsewhere. Look to the true king. The Lord has told you, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, think about it. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, the good pastor. And he is the one who appoints faithful under-shepherds of him so that those pastors that we enjoy today preach the word. The goal is to lead people to the true pastor, not to themselves. So do we want Jesus or just another man who won't really press us, who will lead us and be just like all the other pastors or all the other churches or all the other nations of the world? This is the true King, Jesus Christ. When we come to him, he cares for us, he loves us, he shepherds us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will lead us by still waters. He will guide our souls. May we come today and believe in the true King, Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.